Good morning, church.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we all stand and greet one another? This morning, we were privileged to have Pastor Shannon Horst with us to bring the morning message. Brother Shannon was a last-minute fill-in for Christopher McFadden from Teen Challenge, who had a scheduling conflict come up. We were going to have him preach in Pastor Jack's absence because he's at the annual conference. But he couldn't preach because he had a scheduling conflict. So we have Shannon Horst here. We welcome Brother Shannon. Look forward to his message God has placed upon his heart. You may remember Shannon being back here back in January. He is former pastor at Baysore Road Grace Brethren Church in Dayton, Ohio. Shannon and his wife, Stephanie, have five children and are currently in the area visiting family. Please welcome them after the service. Another announcement, next Sunday, July 10th, we will be having pew communion. Some have asked why we have decided to have a pew communion when we have Love Feast twice a year. Love Feast communion twice a year. Pew communion is not to take the place of Love Feast and communion, but rather it is another opportunity for each of us to proclaim the death of Christ and meditate upon that. The Apostle Paul has told us in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Paul also says in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 29, he says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Please be in prayer over this, and may we all examine ourselves spiritually and ask the Lord to show us the things that we need to be that need to be removed or changed in our lives. The Ministry and Evangelism Committee has, at this point, received confirmations from four people agreeing to serve in the Pastoral Search Committee. We hope to have the remaining three positions filled this week. When all seven positions are filled, there will be a special council meeting so that the congregation can vote for or against the seven-member team. Are there any other additional announcements at this time? If there aren't any, then the praise team will be coming. Please stand as we sing "Draw Me Close." Before we pray this morning, I'd like to welcome our visitors here this morning. We have quite a few visitors, so you see visitors after church, please welcome. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this morning and for what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the eternal life that you have secured for us, Lord, if we place our trust in him. Father, we ask for your blessing this morning, Lord, as we hear your word preached. We pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for the leaders of our nation. We ask, Lord, that they return back to you and that we as a country return back to you. We pray for the election coming up, Lord, that we know that you would put the person in there, Lord, that you have ordained for that position as president. Father, we just ask for your blessing this morning on this service. We pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe Barb Wideman is coming with special music.
Good morning. I have a few things to share before I do the special music. And it goes like this. As faithful followers of Christ, in times of despair, we sometimes need counseling and a reminder that God's promise to care for us is still real. On Friday morning, about 8:15, I thought I was about 16 years old. Anyway, we got our bicycles out, we put them in the back of the pickup truck, and on a Friday we have our great-granddaughter. And we went over to the Elko High School. I proceeded to get on my bike. My husband and Kylie went down, and I didn't realize it was a grate there. You know, it goes up pretty high there at the high school. Well, anyway, I got on my bike, which I haven't been on for about 30-some years. And I got on, and I thought, oh, well, this feels pretty good. So I started down the hill, turned and came back up the hill, and all of a sudden, I got very nervous. I don't know why. Got on the bike again, started down the hill, and when I got to the end of the macadam, I don't know, I didn't have a brake. I couldn't brake. And all of a sudden, I fell. I fell right on the grate. Wouldn't you know it, I couldn't go in the grass. I had to go in the grate. But anyway, so I have a couple bumps, and I thought I broke my arm. My arm's really kind of in bad shape. My hand is swollen. But anyway, through it all, my husband said, the bike is going away and you're never riding that bike again. But anyways, so we did have fun at one time I got around it anyway. But now I know that I'm not 16 years old anymore. Okay, everyone. That being said, oh, I almost forgot the most important part. There I lay on the grate. I looked up at Elmer. Elmer says, I said, hon, you're never going to get me up. You won't get me up. Would you believe that God sent an angel? I don't know where she came from. She came over running across the grass, and she grabbed a hold underneath my arm and helped Elmer lift me up. I don't think he would have got me up. I think I would have had to crawl. That's not great. But anyway, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Okay, now, this morning, I'm going to share two patriotic numbers with you. The one is called Heal Our Land, and the other one you all know, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And then I'm going to offer my life to God. And in that time, the song that I'm playing is called I Offer My Life to God. After that, I'm going to play Gentle Shepherd. And then after that, I'm going to attempt to sing a song. Wait till I get it out. In His Time, it's called. So I hope you enjoy it. Everybody knows that one as a mighty fortress is our God. And now I offer my life.
Thank you, Barb. You sound even better not sitting aside of me in the choir. You sound better as a soloist. My offertory thought this morning comes from David Jeremiah's study Bible. Listen as I read 2 Corinthians 9, 6-15. It's about the cheerful giver. But this I say, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So you might ask, why tithe? While the principle of tithing is basically an Old Testament truth, many New Testament believers practice tithing as a way of stewardship. Tithing is God's way of perpetuating his program. It is how he ministers and keeps people ministering, pointing out our priorities so that we are confronted with what we believe in, proving his promises. God has vowed to supply his children with what they need. Their trust with their tithe allows him to tangibly make good in his word, promoting our faith. Tithing is a means of both motivation and maturity. When one of God's children steps out into the unknown and does something difficult in obedience, our hearts are inspired and another faith muscle gets strengthened. Providing for our needs. When God's people give, he gives back even more, meeting their needs through prayer, his presence, the guiding principles of his word, and his power. If we understand the grace of God, we have the highest motivation to live by the highest standards possible. Here in 2 Corinthians, giving is called grace. Grace in the Greek suggests beauty against ugliness, strength against weakness, health replacing sickness, and love displacing hate. This is what tithing truly does in the fellowship of Christ. When we give to the work of God, our dollars become acts of beauty and strength, health and love. The ushers may come forward. Children may be excused for children's church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed us with means that we can give back to you, Lord. Father, may each one here today, Lord, search our hearts and know that you are the giver of all good gifts, and that we, out of our love for you, Lord, will give back to you. Father, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The offertory hymn is number 528 in the blue hymnal. I stand amazed in the presence.
All right, well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. My name is Shannon, like was mentioned before, and if you do remember, I was here in January. I can't believe it was January, so apparently I didn't make anybody too mad at me because you invited me back. So thank you. I appreciate that. And thanks for coming out July 4th weekend. I know we all have an appointment on Monday to blow up little things and pieces of this United States, so that's wonderful. So happy Independence Day, but thanks for coming today. It's very important. Back there in the very back is my wife and family. They love it when I make a spectacle of them, so please look at them. It is my oldest daughter Zoe's 14th birthday. So make sure you say happy birthday to her today. They love it when I do this. And I'm going to hear about it the whole way home. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Now, I don't know about you and what your customs are here, but after we're done with the service today, I would love it if you guys would just spend some time getting to know each other if you don't. I mean, there's probably some people here that don't know each other very well, so it'd be fun out in the foyer just to spend time and get to know each other. Because, you know, we call this a church family. I think I've heard that before, right? People call the church a church family. Well, you know, are there people in your family that you know well? Right? Those are the people who you know the best. So please, make sure you make a point to just spend some time together. You know, one of the things that over the past 4 years that have been really, has been impressed upon me is as I spent time in the pastorate for the last 4 years, the most important times, the best times I spent with other people happened not in buildings like this, but happened out in their homes, happened in nursing homes, happened in any place other than the church. Now, don't get me wrong, the church building is wonderful. We need to come here. Please don't hear me say that you shouldn't come, because I want you to come here. I want you to come to these buildings. But I also want to encourage you to get into the homes of your friends, of your family here. Get into homes on a Monday. Did you know that you as a church can get together in somebody else's house on a Wednesday or on a Thursday? You can actually do that. You don't all stop existing on a Monday morning. You know, you have a home and you can invite people in. One of the stories that I remember really well is I was in hospice and I was in with this family. This man was waiting on glory. He was there just dying. And his wife and I were sitting there, and between tears, between laughter, she would tell me these stories. And she told me about Where the Red Fern Grows. It's a movie, came out in 1974. I don't know if you ever remembered. I think I remember seeing it. I probably had to read the book in high school at some point and didn't. That's probably what happened. But she said, "Do you remember that movie?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that movie, kind of." And she said, "Do you remember the dog in that movie?" I said, "Well, sure, I guess there's a dog in that movie." And she said, "That dog was my dad's dog." I said, "No way, you're kidding." She said, "Yeah." She told me the story about how the people who made the movie went from house to house, and they saw that her dad had this dog, and they asked permission to film the dog, and it turns out that this dog is kind of like the star of this movie. And it was a wonderful story. It's a wonderful time sitting there, and I would have never gotten that story in a Sunday school classroom. I would have never gotten that story in a Bible study. Those stories are only shared in homes or in hospitals or in all those other places where people can open up a little bit more. I remember an older lady. We're in the hospital with her. She's in her 80s. Her sisters are sitting next to her, and she's from Kentucky. And they were reminding her when she was 15 years old how she sat out on the porch with a shotgun because people were stealing chickens. That's Kentucky, okay? That's crazy. But she was doing that. Here's this sweet 80-year-old woman, older than that is sitting there, and I had to picture her with a shotgun sitting on the porch shooting at these guys that are stealing her chickens. But again, another story you're not going to hear in the pews. You guys are all on your best behavior today. You're not going to tell stories like that here. You're going to tell stories like that in the hospital. You're going to tell stories like that around the dinner table. So get in. Look to your left. Go to their house, okay, today. Just surprise them, right? Just surprise them and start telling stories. Start to get to know one another. Now listen, I know exactly what you're saying. I know exactly what you're thinking because I think this too. You say, "Shannon, that is a wonderful idea, but I have no time. I mean, the football game's on. I got to take the kids to bowling league, I don't know, somewhere. I got to take the kids places. I got to go here. I got to do this." There's just not enough time. That's a problem. Time is at a premium. We think it's all, you know, we all have 24 hours, but listen, we're busy. We fill up our time with all sorts of things, and we never have time for one another. You know, the one thing that steals our time from reading the Bible is we fill it up with all sorts of other things, right? We always say, well, it would be great to get together and pray with you, but, you know, I just don't have the time. And that brings us kind of to what our pictures that are going to be up here in just a little bit. This sermon's entitled Margins. Now, when this picture gets up here, I want you to look at this. I don't know how well you can see it, but what it is, it's a piece of notebook paper, and it is filled with doodles and all sorts of stuff all the way to the margins, just filled entirely to the margins. Now, you probably didn't know me when I was in high school, but this is pretty much what my notes look like here when I was in high school, just kind of drawing and doodling, not paying attention to anything else, but filling up the paper with all sorts of not really important stuff, and all the other important stuff just had to wait. And that's probably why I got the grades I got. So, Mom, Dad, if you're ever listening to this, I'm very sorry about that. But this is what it looked like, filled to the margins with all sorts of nonsense, never having enough time, never having enough paper to actually write down the important stuff. Our culture puts value on being busy. We're told if you're not busy, you're not important. The best way to look important at your job is to carry a clipboard and just walk around really fast. You look important. You look busy. We're afraid of inactivity. So we fill our lives up to the margins and beyond with all sorts of activities. We never really stop to think or even ask ourselves, is this even healthy? Is this a healthy practice that we're doing? We do it in our churches. We fill it up. So many programs, so many activities. But is it good for us? Now, in Scripture this morning, we're going to look at a case study. This case study of two sisters and their differing approaches and how they spend their time. And then in the weeks that follow this sermon, if you're paying attention at all, I want you to just try to think about this. How do we spend our time? How are we spending our time going forward? So please, if you have a Bible with you, open up to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I would say that if you don't own a Bible, talk to me afterwards. I want to help you get one. Maybe I can help you buy one. Maybe there's some in the church that we can hand to you. But this is important. This isn't just a coffee table book that is good to look at once in a while. This is God's word to us today. It's not just an old book of history. It's a book vital for our existence today. So if you need a Bible, please talk to me. Please talk to Steve. Somebody here will get you a Bible. It's just that important. But Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Let's take a look there. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me here to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's thank the Lord for his word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us so that we can read it together here. Now, Lord, please speak through me. Help me to just kind of slink away. That people maybe even forget who gave the message today, but that, Lord, your word would be proclaimed loudly and clearly, and that we would all leave here just prayerfully considering how we use our time, the time that you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, chapter 10 in Luke, it's a chapter of contrasts. So we go back just a little bit in chapter 10 to verse 25. We see another contrast. This Jewish leader is going to ask a very important question to Jesus. Jesus is going to interact with him. And this is what it says. "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test," to talk to Jesus, to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he, the lawyer, answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. So we see this great command to love God. We love God with everything, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And what follows then, Jesus tells a story that we call the Good Samaritan. We're familiar with this story, right? This poor man is disheveled. He's beaten up. He's laying on the side of the road. And these Jewish leaders come by. They ignore him. And then finally the Samaritan comes, helps him up, pays for his care. We know this story, and it's a great story. And what happens is we see Jesus contrasting the behavior of those Levites, those who are supposed to be super holy, contrasting their behavior with the Samaritan's behavior. And then we see it as a way of showing us, not just the Samaritan, not just the lawyer, but showing each and every one of us how we're to love our neighbor. First of all, who is our neighbor? It's the person that needs help. And how do we love them? We serve them. We do things for them. When they're in trouble, we pick them up. We help them. We love them. That's how we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus is teaching that if we would do that, partially we're obeying the law of God. If we would simply just love other people the way that we love ourselves, we're obeying, partially anyway, the law of God. But this is a two-part command, isn't it? It's love what? Love who? Love your neighbor, right? And then there's that second part there. Love your neighbor as yourself, but then who else are we supposed to love? We're supposed to love somebody else with everything, right? With God. We're supposed to love God with everything. So this is this other part, that we're supposed to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And the verses that we just read today, they're Jesus completing his answer to the lawyer, showing us now, not only are we to love others as we love ourselves, but we're to love God in this very complete way. This is how we're to love. And spoiler alert, it's not by filling your life with activities. It's not by just doing a whole bunch of things. It's not by working your way anywhere. It's about spending time with Jesus, with loving him. This contrast that we're going to look at, it's a contrast between good and better, good and best. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But here in these verses, what we see is Jesus and his company just kind of entering Bethany, and they run into this woman named Martha. Now, Martha seems to be the one that's in charge of some household events. Maybe it's her home. Maybe she's the one that in charge of these social events. And Martha, what she does, a very typical response is she sees these folks and says, come on in. Come on into our house. We want to be hospitable. We want to feed you. Let's have some refreshments. Let's have some conversations. And it's here that we immediately see the sisters and how different they are. Look at verses 39 and 40 with me once again. And Martha, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted by much serving. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, presumably doing nothing at all, but just sitting there. And this caused attention, at least in Martha's eyes. Look at verse 40, how it ends. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him, went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Martha's busy serving. Mary's quietly sitting at Jesus' feet doing absolutely nothing, and it's driving her nuts, right? But before we move on any further, I do want to say this. Today, I'm not calling you to make a decision between being Mary or being Martha. That's not what these verses are talking about. They're not asking you to be a Mary, not asking you to be a Martha. But what we're doing here, hopefully, is we're learning a little bit about balance. Many of you serve in this church. I am sure you serve in this church, and praise God for that. It is very important. It should be celebrated. Service is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But guess what? So is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. You must take time to read your Bible, to get together to pray, to love others enough, to sit with them, to pray with them. I prayed in the back here just before starting. It's important. The sitting at Jesus' feet is just as important as serving. And we've got to keep those two in balance.
But here it seems Martha has gone completely off the deep end in serving, so much so she filled up her notebook paper all the way to the edge, right? Just so busy, so concerned with getting the job done, that we see here that she becomes quite upset. Martha's perhaps pressured by the unexpected guests. She was hurriedly serving, making sure everybody had things, making sure everything was just so, reminding me of my mom, making sure that everything's on the table before she sits down, right? She never sits down. She's just making the food and doing everything, and finally she sits down and we're all done eating, right? So Martha's frustrated by this. She's so busy. She's so busy. She wanted to hear from Jesus too, don't you think? But there was no time. There was no time to hear from Jesus. All of that service was robbing that wonderful time. Jesus would soon die, right? Jesus would soon go to the cross, and Martha could no longer sit at his feet to learn. So she traded that good service for the best thing, sitting at Jesus' feet. And maybe some of you can relate to this. I know that I can often relate to something like this. Maybe you serve here in the church. Maybe you've been a Sunday school teacher for years and years and years. You don't remember the last time you sat in a Sunday school class as a student. Maybe you're so busy with this ministry or that ministry or this ministry that you can't remember the last prayer meeting you've been to. You can't remember the last time you simply sat down, opened your Bible, and read it. We get so distracted. We fill up our lives. We're so scared of inactivity that we fill it up. We're so scared of quiet that we fill it up with noise. We trade the best for merely the good. With Martha, immediately there's a problem. Immediately there's a problem. And it shouldn't surprise us. She's so busy living life that she never bothers to listen for the instructions. And that can be frustrating. So she starts to get frustrated. And instead of going to Mary and just asking her to help, imagine how this story could have been different. Martha just said, "Mary, could you help me do the dishes?" I mean, that would have solved the problem right there. But instead, what does Martha do? She goes right to the top, doesn't she? She goes right to Jesus and says, "Jesus, Look at my sister. She's not doing anything. Would you just tell her to get busy, to do something?" She gets so involved, she would rather point out someone else's inactivity than get the help that she needed. We become busy. We become so frantic serving. We become so frantic doing that, guess what? Our focus is off the reason why we're serving, and it gets planted straight and direct to the project. And if you get in the way of me finishing my project, I'm going to be mad at you, and I'm going to say, kind of, "Hey, Jesus, look at this guy. Look at this loser over here who's not doing anything, and look how busy I am." That doesn't sound healthy to me. In fact, it sounds like you're trying to puff yourself up a little bit. "Look how busy I am, and nobody else is as busy as I am." The task becomes the highest goal. The task becomes the most important thing. Martha became so consumed with this earthly task of entertaining that she neglected learning from Jesus. "Jesus, I want to entertain you. I want to serve, but I don't want to have to listen to what you have to say. There's just no time." Now listen, if you serve here in this church in any capacity, if you serve in any way, maybe it's playing the organ or playing the piano, maybe it's singing, maybe it's whatever you do here, please, please hear me say this. It is wonderful that you would serve in these ways. It is magnificent and you should be celebrated, but do not neglect time alone with Jesus. Listen, if you will serve and serve and serve and you never spend time with Jesus, you know what? You are ruining this church. You are ensuring its demise if all you want to do is serve and never want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I don't think you want to do that. Activity does not always equal godliness. please, again, hear me say this, that it's, I'm not calling you to a culture of laziness. I'm not calling you to just kind of sitting around and do nothing. Service is important, but there is something better. Coming together, praying together, reading scripture together, reading scripture in your home, praying with your wives, praying with your wife. You only have one. You're supposed to only have one. That's another sermon. So after going to Jesus with her complaint, remember she says, Jesus, would you look at her? Doesn't it bother you that she does nothing? This is what Jesus does. He diagnoses her heart condition. He says this, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. When you serve here in Myerstown, do you kind of sometimes feel like Martha, anxious and troubled about many things? Proper service should not bring anxiety. God is not a God that wants to load anxiety on you. He's not one that wants to load troubles on you. So if you're feeling anxious and troubled, maybe it's not his fault. Maybe there's no margin in your life. Fill it up with so many good things, and neglect those necessary things. I know in a church this size, many of you have to wear many, many different hats. Many of you are by nature busy, and that's, again, I say, that's a fine thing. But remember, you are destroying the church if all you ever do is serve and you never go to the feet of Jesus. You're not a church of 1,000 people. I don't know if you've noticed that this morning. There's not 1,000 people here. And that's fine. This is what the Lord has. This is what the Lord has given you. And this is wonderful. We need to be, we need to celebrate that. But if you continue to try to be as busy as a church of 1,000 people, what you will end up being is anxious and troubled. And I will tell you something from experience. Nobody likes hanging out with anxious and troubled people. It's about finding that focus, that balance of focusing on service. Yes, please serve, but also focusing on God's true word. Jesus doesn't want you to be anxious and troubled about your service. He wants you to be joyful. Joyful during your service. And he closes out our passage this morning by saying this, one thing that is necessary. One thing that is necessary, Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus says that Mary has chosen the good portion. It could be best understood as the best portion. Remember, service is a good thing. But I want you to look at it this way, okay? If I were to say to you today, I'm going to commit to eating candy for every meal for the next year, is that healthy? What do you think is going to happen? Cavities, right? Cavities, what else? I'd gain weight. Boy, I'd be one fat guy, man. I would be a big dude. Diabetes, all kinds of other things like that, right? If we concentrate on only the good thing, candy's good. I like candy. I like chocolate. But if I concentrate on only eating the chocolate, only eating the good stuff, and neglect the nourishment, the real stuff, the meat, all the good stuff that's out there, I'm going to become unbalanced. I'm going to become unhealthy, and I'm going to be ushered into eternity a whole lot sooner, which may not be what is in the best interest of my family. When we focus so much on those things that bring us anxiety and trouble, when we focus so much on service that we forget about nourishing our spirit, when we forget about reading scripture, we are killing ourselves. We become spiritual corpses, good for nothing. So I challenge each and every one of you to look at your margin in your life. Do you have time for the things that are truly important? When Jesus was speaking, Mary dropped everything, sat, and she learned. Is this important? Is it important to listen to God's word being taught? Is it important to listen to God's word being read? Is it important as you're singing the songs to think about what are you actually singing? Is it something that you love and believe in? Is it something that's extolling the Lord's virtues that is edifying your soul? Or are you just thinking about that next event coming up? I hope that we can all have that hunger in our lives, the same hunger that Mary had. And that when we serve, we would do so in a way that would bring much joy. And that means, you know, there's sometimes you just have to stop serving. There's sometimes where you have to take that step back and just sit at the feet of Jesus. This great command that was given to us, to love others as we love ourselves. I want you to do that. And part of loving others as you love yourselves is serving them, is giving of your life, of sacrificially giving of your life to them. Loving others as you love yourself. Do it this week. Try it if you haven't. Think of other people. But as you do not neglect the second part of that command, to love your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Love him by listening. Love him by reading your word, God's word. Love him by praying with your brothers and sisters. Remember, I said this is a family here. Spend time with one another. Talk of spiritual things. We must not neglect our time with our God. It's not just idle time. This is time when we sit and we proclaim our love for him. And we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Because he loved us while we were yet sinners. Remember? I remember the sermon that I gave in January, that we were once sinners. That means we were disgusting, filthy in God's sight. That means there's nothing that you can do out there to earn God's favor. God's favor was poured on you richly because he loved you even while you were disgusting. Not something that you could earn. Not something that you could buy. He loved you despite yourself. And now you get the chance to love others in that same way. So do it. Remember, you have a God who loves you. He wants you to sit at his feet. He wants you to serve not only your fellow man, but to serve him. He wants the praise. He deserves your praise for the wonderful, wonderful things that he's done. He's loved us so much. How can we offer him any less? And thank you very much for allowing me to come here and to share God's word with you once again. I would ask, in closing here, I would ask that you just keep us in prayer, keep my family in prayer. I think it's something that we're kind of trying to figure out what the Lord would have for us and what the next steps are. And we're in the area looking for a place to live, looking for where the Lord would have us serve. So please be praying. But also, please pray. I want to give this, you know, I give this sermon about creating margins. Sometimes for the pastor, it's just as hard, or sometimes harder, because I feel like I've got to perform to a certain level. I've got to do, and I forget about my margins. So I just ask you to pray for me that my notebook paper doesn't look like this, that I can make time to just simply sit and pray, sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. That's something that I would love for you to pray for me, and I will pray for you likewise. Let's right now, let's pray, and let's thank Jesus for what he's done today. Father, we do thank you. And Lord, I do want you, Lord, to search our hearts, to show us the ways that we've maybe not used our time as wisely as we should. Lord, when we get so consumed with doing that we forget about everything else. Lord, we cast our anxieties on you. We give them to you, Lord. We ask you to take them from us. We take our trouble. Help us to think clearly, Lord. Help us to worship you for all of the good and wonderful things you've done. Father, just ask that you would just move in our lives, that you would prove yourself to us daily. Not that you need to, but so that, Lord, we could be pointing others towards your greatness. That, Lord, as others would see you work in our lives, we could turn the praise back and we could say, but look at the wonderful God I serve. Look at the wonderful things he does. He does the impossible. Father, thank you so much for friends. Thank you for family. Thank you for Myerstown Church of the Brethren, Lord. And I ask that you would bless this church. Give them zeal and vigor to serve you and to ensure that others come to know you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Closing hymn this morning is When We Walk with the Lord, number 544 in the blue hymnal. Please stand.
They call Sunday the Lord's Day. We've heard that before, right? Well, I want to tell you, the rest of them belong to him too. So maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this week, we would all remember that they all belong to him. And we're going to use those days to bring him joy. And some of those days are going to be filled with walking along the way. Some of them are going to be filled with sitting at his feet. But each and every one of those days belongs to him. So thanks for being here again. Be safe this weekend. I joke about blowing stuff up, but if you do, please be careful. And I appreciate, again, I appreciate you letting me be here to share God's word, and I appreciate each one of you, and love to get to know you a little bit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done today, and just pray that you would continue to show yourselves to us throughout the week, that each and every day does belong to you, Lord, and we want to use them to please you. So, Lord, help us do it. Challenge us each day to serve you, to listen to you, to trust and obey. So, Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.